Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about magnetic field lines. Are they real? I'm afraid they're not. They're a conceptual construct, a model, so to speak, similar to the way that streets drawn on a street map aren't actual real streets. Now, this is one of the things which are nail-bitingly hard to accept. And magnetic field lines do really appear real because we put a magnet on underneath some paper and sprinkle iron filings on top. I'll sort of do a stop here to actually talk to you about how to actually do that experiment rather well. So one of the things you should do to do that experiment is put a magnet underneath a glass chopping board or a piece of glass, then sprinkle and arrange the magnetic filings such that you get the magnetic field lines appearing, or a simulation of them appearing. Then you put a glue stick, adhesive, and glue a section of your book, and actually then press that book onto the magnetic field, onto the iron filings, and you'll get an imprint of those iron filings onto your book. Now, although this is a really fantastic way to view it, what iron filings are doing is creating a whole series of tiny magnets. Each iron filing has got a linear extent. It forms a north-south pole. It's ferromagnetic, so it actually gathers the field inside it and then cancels the field on the outside of it. So by arranging its north to the south pole and the south to the north pole, if you draw the field lines around it, each of those little magnets, it cancels it out and channels the field strength intensely at the top of each of those magnets. Now, what we're going to have to talk about is what a field is. So a field itself is a construct where you typically in three dimensions, for each point in three dimensions, say X, Y, Z. So imagine 1 meter, 2 meter, 3 meters, X, Y, Z. That point there, it has a value. Now, that's a field, so describing a three-dimensional data set which corresponds on top of an actual real three-dimensional volume describes a field. It says that it's got a certain value. So a scalar field would be, say, the temperature or pressure at every point, say in a rod that you've heated up. You could actually draw the temperature at, take the temperature at individual readings and construct a field, to say that there is a field of temperature or a field of pressure. Now, wind is an example of a vector field. And so if at certain points on top of the hill, jumping up above the ground, on top of a roof, you feel the wind at different speeds, you can record that and map that onto a three-dimensional data set. So that's a vector field. So what we're saying is that magnets do produce a vector field, but field lines are a construct, so we can visualize the strength and direction of those field lines, and it follows the convention that the closer the field lines are together, the stronger the field force is there, and the actual arrow drawn on the field lines gives the sense of direction. But it just so happens that the sprinkling iron iron filings actually doesn't map the field lines, because you've actually created a composite magnet. That is a magnet with it's got a magnetic yoke connecting north to south via a string of magnets. If you actually said what the fields are, they're no longer as strong between those iron field lines that you produce, that you still produce. And so it's a very strong and important thing to say. So for magnetic field lines, if you do draw them, continuously go in loops. They don't start at a north pole and end at a south pole. They go from the north pole to the south pole and inside the magnet in a loop, always in a loop like that. Now, another various thing is where something very similar happens in the sun. You see these field line loops of plasma, and it's sort of like a similar thing, iron filings, but this time plasma. And the plasma, as it's got a current, creates a local magnetic field and generates indeed a field. The field lines are within the magnet, the plasma rope, but the plasma rope is there. It's sort of one of these hard things to get your mind around. Now, field lines were developed by someone called Michael Faraday, who in the 1820s, 30s, around that time, came out with it. So he's a religious man, very much in printing. And in printing, you scratch the lines to indicate the intensity of light, or if you mention those Victorian. So he's a Victorian scientist, and he was the original scientist. So I should go into that at different stages. So he would sketch these field lines, and he was a non-mathematical person, and in the ranks of Newton. Newton was intensely mathematical, but he didn't use mathematical equations or methodologies, even though he invented calculus. It's a strange thing. So Faraday was in the same troop, and he was a printer and produced these lines showing the intensity. He could visualize the intensity. And said, you know, can someone please bring some mathematics to these field lines? And he would also make the same mistake that our children make when they draw a two-dimensional plane of field lines for three-dimensional field lines. So just let's back up a bit. Now, if I have a battery, the field lines, if there are any, or go in three dimensions. But what we do is we constrain it to two dimensions and mark everyone correct that the magnet is just two-dimensional shape. So what we have is that the field lines drawn in two dimensions must always go in complete loops, but they only travel in the two dimensions of your page, but indeed they actually hook out of the page. So this one field line which will actually go out of the North Pole through your nose and back into the page again, but that's not actually drawn. Or occasionally I've seen one student who's actually visualized, drew it, then on explanation I awarded him the mark, and then teachers came back and said, no, look, you have to learn to do the correct way. So getting back to Faraday, he went around to Maxwell, James Clerk Maxwell, and said, you know, is there any origin of field lines? Are field lines at all correct? And Maxwell worked on it and concluded then and there, and ever since, and I think no one has ever said that field lines have real, except for teachers who teach it, of course. Faraday realised that his central vision of field lines was not sustainable, not correct, and he left. He still did lots of experiments, but he began lecturing and teaching to students in a series of beautiful lectures, which are still worthwhile reading. And Maxwell tried really hard. He tried to draw flux and circles, and he eventually came up with his theory of light, which is great. Great from there. So let's just summarize. Field lines are a way of indicating a model of field strength, and we can simulate them by putting iron filings in, but the iron filings actually collapse the field in the actual length. You're just watching field collapse in iron filings, but they do look like field lines, and they do follow a convenient two-dimensional pattern that we do teach. Then you get evidence of field lines very strongly appearing on the sun, of these plasma arcs going out, and it looks as though there is this field line waffing about. Yeah, it follows the field line, but really the magnetic field is constrained to within the magnetic arc. Very similar principle to iron filings. Then out of this lunacy, people talk about field lines cancelling each other, creating an absence of field lines and creating a pressure, which is sort of many, many more steps away from any possible concrete understanding. So it's a brilliant explanation, but with many brilliant fake explanations, it leads to nowhere. So this is the idea that a wire in a magnetic field going across a magnetic field has its own circular field lines going around it, and those circular field lines cancel the incoming field lines, create an absence of field lines that's drawn across. This is a complete madness, of course, which creates a vacuum which actually sucks the wire up. And when I asked my teacher, I said, "Oh, that's incorrect statement," and he said, "You know what? I'm going to teach it anyway. It's such a beautiful explanation that everyone can understand." And it's more that people understand and get the correct answer than actually understanding the correct thing. Now, I have to go in soon on this walk. I've been walking for a while. The interesting thing here is, how does it actually work? Obviously, magnets do work. How do they work? How do they go across in space? Well, it so turns out that electric and magnetic fields are the same thing, but in different frames of reference and special relativity. Hang on for a moment. What we're going to do is do two things, I suppose. Do a wire and a conventional magnet. A conventional magnet will be more a permanent magnet that you have. A neodymium magnet will be more of a mind bender for you. But if you take two wires and have current going the same direction in these two parallel wires, those two parallel wires all slam together. And this is because there's a magnetic field created. You can say the magnetic field of one is influencing the other by the electromotive force, and that's what we teach at the moment. We teach associative logic, that this creates a motor force, electromagnetic force. If you say motor force in your HSC, you will just automatically get a tick by the examiner, even though you may not actually understand what's going on. But what's happening here is that the electrons, let's say the electrons in both wires, are moving relative to the lattice, positive lattice. And what that means is that if you are in the frame of reference of the electrons at the bottom wire, the top wire, and you're going at the speed of those electrons, the top wire will length contract, and the positive charges will appear to contract together, and the negative charges will stay the same. So there will appear in the frame of reference of the travelling electrons a positive charge, and it'll just get electrostatic force to it. So I assume that you'll be able to go onto the internet and check out a special relativity explanation of magnetic fields. Once you see it, once you understand it, it sort of displaces everything else. So have a go and have a look at it. But what's more mind-bending is the permanent magnet in which electric charge doesn't flow. Now, an example of an electric charge not flowing is a stationary electron. What can you get across there? And this is a point-like thing. But this actually has associated with it a magnetic field with it. So electrons themselves have small magnets. And so depending on the spin of your electrons, you can have a net magnetic field. And so this is how you cause the magnetization by the spin of these electrons. And this, unfortunately, goes all into quantum mechanics and into, I suppose, write it down into string theory. But it really goes into why an electron has a magnetic moment. A magnetic moment is a magnet strength. So any magnet, the strength of any magnet is defined by its magnetic moment. You could describe it. Any magnet is the strength of a compass needle. You're seeing the magnetic moment of a compass needle. So, in summary, unfortunately for you guys, magnetic field lines are a model construct. They don't necessarily exist. So in a model, they relate. A model is a way of describing things, so they're quite a legitimate model construct, but they're not anyway an explanation. The explanations for magnetic field force lies for electromagnetics and special relativity, and for individual electrons, protons, and neutrons even, which have small magnetic fields, lie in quantum mechanics and the standard model. Thanks for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.